are listening to Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase with host Matt Kona. The Naked Comedy Showcase can be seen the first Thursday of every month at 9:30 at Improv Boston, Central Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with host Andy Ofeisch. Without any further ado, take your clothes off or leave them on. Here is Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase.
Oh, my God.
A podcast. Hey, listen,
I'm thoroughly impressed, finally.
Yeah, two months off.
Yeah, this is our seventh episode, and you have finally stated the proper name of the show in the beginning without having to be, I'm amazed. The part that nobody out in who's listening to this saw was the pain on your face as you're trying to reconstruct the words in the right order so it came out right. That was very fun to watch.
The point is, I nailed it.
You did nail it.
You can't control the face you make while you're having sex, you know, and this is my,
I just saw the gears were moving and you were fucking chopping it up and putting it around and,
yeah, sometimes you can't see the lack of confidence behind it. You just gotta hope they're not looking at your face
right.
When they're listening. So, which is perfect for a podcast. I mean.
Exactly.
If I'm doing a tour, and this happened today, it's been talked about before, I give guided tours of the city of Boston. There'll be sometimes, if I've had a few days off, where I'm about to say a name, and I'm always struggling, wait, is this dude's name William? Or Richard? And I don't wanna say the wrong thing, and, so I'll just say, it's our Boston's first settler, Reverend William Blackston. Right? Nobody knows if I'm saying it right, right? Just believe me. Move on.
I remember that from the tour.
Yeah, Reverend William Blackston.
Are there times where you know that you've said the wrong thing?
Oh, I definitely said the wrong name today. I said Patrick instead of Paul, but Paul blanked on me at the time. And so I said Patrick Rudolph, and I didn't correct myself because I didn't know the correct answer at the time. I was just so on autopilot.
At least you didn't say Patrick Revere.
Yeah. Johnny Boston founded Boston, and it's been called Boston ever since 1973.
All right, that's the end of the guided part. Now just look around for the next hour and a half.
I'll just point at pretty things you can take pictures of. Let's go.
I thought you were going to say, like, sometimes I do the tour and I say the wrong thing, and then you're just going like, a busing riot happened there.
Here a bus, here a bus. No. Everywhere a bus riot. Yeah, no, none of that. So hey, we got through the intro.
Yes.
My name is Matt Kona. This is the voice you hear that was so enamored with my correct nailing of the show title. Nick David.
That's me.
Heather Royce, that's our first guest of today, Ted Pettengill.
Hey!
Ted Pettengill of Fart the Podcast, which has not been on for a while. Did you guys make a conscious decision to, or did it just kind of, fart fade away?
It sort of just faded away. But I do have, my web series, Are We a Horse?
That's true.
YouTube.com. / Are We a Horse?
And there's soup pictures on Instagram.
Are we still doing that?
Well, there's plenty of them.
That's true.
You kind of run out of soup after a while. Have you done Manhattan clam chowder yet?
No. And Adam lives in Manhattan.
Ooh.
Or actually lives in Brooklyn, but yeah. He works in Manhattan.
Are you taking pictures of actual soup that you're making, or are you just taking pictures of random soup?
They don't always make it.
Or are you just finding pictures of soup on the internet and then putting them on?
It's all soup we're actually eating.
Okay.
Where did the concept come from? Why did you decide to start doing that?
We have a group text that we use to like communicate sketch ideas, and one day, me and Rich were just like, you've been eating a lot of soup lately? Because I've been eating a lot of soup lately. And then we, like, texted that to the rest of the group, and everybody's like, yeah, soup's become a big part of my life.
Out of nowhere, or is it like your period just syncing up but with consuming soup?
I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but we all decided that we were all eating soup at the same time. And I
would you consider that to be a brotherhood?
Leave it to Matt Cohen. I'm sorry. That's perfect.
Yeah, something like
yes,
that.
Yes, you would. Okay,
I couldn't think of a better pun with the word "rue" in it. You know, that was a real stock joke, Kona. I think I suggested it. I said, wouldn't it be funny if we started like an Instagram account for the sketch group, but it was just pictures of soup that we ate? And Adam was super high. He was high. He was eating that weed soup. And he's just like, oh, I'm so high right now. I'm going to go home and I'm going to make that. And he did. And we just send him pictures of bowls of soup we eat. And
wow.
He posts them. Or, I mean, I don't know. I stopped keeping up with it months ago.
You stopped sending him pictures of soup.
Yeah. The only one who still does it is Karski. Yeah. So if it's still active, it's probably just like the last 3 months are just pictures of ramen that he gets at work.
Wait, he gets free ramen at work? Or
no, there's just like a ramen restaurant. Like that delivers that's, you know, near his office.
So no one can see the soup that you're eating presently. It's kind of like a soup not see.
And has there ever been a ramen place that has their menu listed Chinese food style where you order by the number, but it's in ramen numerals?
How far are we going to take this?
If not,
I'm
let's
fucking
just keep
listen,
doing it.
Listen, man, I'll dig my fucking heels in. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
All right. I know you're going to win, but.
People want to hear about nudity, I guess. we'll see that. Well, Halloween just wrapped up. I didn't do anything particularly naked for Halloween, but I did go to the costume store, and they had a costume of a naked person. No genitals, of course. That would be. I don't know.
So just like a Ken or a Barbie?
Yeah.
They just look like a Ken?
It was a Ken. It was in the clearance section, so the place that I went to, it has like a discount room, gently opened costumes or things that are missing parts or a Jason mask that is cracked or something, so
right.
Selling at a discount. And I don't know what was wrong with the naked costume. Maybe someone
it had genitals.
Yeah.
Someone got naked and got into it and then returned it.
Well, it was a costume that had herpes on it, but it was on the inside, so it wasn't as popular, I guess.
The part where there was no genitals, there was just a hole cut in it.
That is an idea.
Just picture that in your head.
You could do it for the naked show. You could just be like, I'm kind of modest.
I've got body image issues.
Body image issues. I'm kind of modest.
Here was painted abs, but my junk. Okay. Most people don't know, but I don't have abs on my dick. You know, it's despite how hard I work it out. You know, I just yeah. Okay, so
did you buy the costume?
No, I didn't buy it. I did try it on first. I did try the costume with fake abs. I was Thor, although I bought my helmet from Amazon, and a lot of the stuff I've been buying from Amazon, you don't know at the time, but it's being shipped from China, so it takes a long time to get here.
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't realize until after I was ordering it, so the expected arrival date of my Halloween helmet was November 7th through 14th. So that's no good. So what I did was I had a Viking helmet already, and so I wore that, and I did a show on Halloween. I went to a party on Friday, but I didn't go to any night of Halloween thing. And the Friday party I went, I just wore a Boston Bruins hat, and I said my name was Bobby Thor. Because I like having a Halloween costume you have to explain to people.
That's great.
So they're like, get it, Bobby Thor? They're like, no, we are all 10 years younger than you.
A Bruins hat on top of a Viking helmet.
See, that would have been smarter, perhaps. But, so Thor's helmet is not a Viking helmet. So
right.
I did a sketch on stage with my lady who was dressed as Wonder Woman. And so we did a sketch about Thor and Wonder Woman going to couples counseling. And
nice.
And I bought her a shield online, but it was for a Wonder Woman shield, but it was like a child size one. So it was like the size of a plate. So I wrote a joke about how she said that I washed it with hot water, and that's why it shrunk. And then I went to the dry cleaners, and I lost my helmet, and they gave me a Viking helmet instead. So, very funny, I know, and the explanation of it.
No, I saw it. You posted it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I posted the photo. I haven't seen the video of it yet, but...
I haven't seen the video.
I think it came out okay. We'll see. Wow.
I haven't seen the video. I just saw the
picture.
I'll
post a link in the...
Oh, please do.
Yeah. So what did you do for Halloween, Nicholas?
Actual Halloween, I did nothing. I stayed in and...
Did you have trick-or-treaters come to your neighborhood?
No, I didn't know what I was doing, and I just never figured it out, so I never bought candy, so I just kind of hibernated and turned off all the lights.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Hid from all the wonderful children outside, just stealing their wonderful night away from them by not giving them piles of candy.
See, I will interject, but I think most people that don't want trick-or-treaters will shut their front light off, but what if you just kept it on, you answer the door, and like, what do we have here? Well, I don't have any candy. I just wanted to see your costume and then shut the door. That would be the trick. Kids very rarely get tricked on trick-or-treat. Yeah.
But then when those kids grow up, then they're going to come egg your house. So they're like 6 and 8 now. When they turn to be 12 and 14, they're going to fucking TP your house.
Well, you got
to
say, I'm moving.
You're
going
to be like,
so
old man Kona. He always comes to the door in his bathrobe with no candy.
Well, the bathrobe is my costume. Yeah. Of course, naked beneath it. Nudist for Halloeen. No costume.
With an outfit on. It's a Ken body with a penis cut out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So nothing on Halloween. And then the night after, November 1st, they had a Halloween night in Merrimack. So
okay.
I took my son down to Merrimack.
Ah.
And we went trick-or-treating down there.
Why did they choose the night after? Because I know that some towns will do that. They'll do that like a few days before, depending on what day of the week it is, or if it's going to rain on Halloween. But
a lot of towns rearranged their night because they lost power.
Oh,
and a lot
right.
of towns
that happened
were still kind of recuperating from not having power. And so they're trying to, I don't know what their method of trying to figure out how much lead time people would need in order to get back on their feet, or if it was just like the power will be back on this date and the next date we'll do it or what. But a lot of towns, I was keeping up on it going through trying to find a place to bring my son on a night that I had him. Mm. So
they were basically doing that for the benefit of the people like yourself that didn't buy candy that would otherwise have the lights off. So the kids didn't bummed out and they're like, wow, everyone is just a shut-in and they don't want to part with the Scores bars and M&Ms that they bought for the kids. Hmm. I did eat a lot of Halloween candy today at work that someone brought in, which is nice to cash in on that. But. None of this is naked, I guess, but...
No, and none of it is involving Ted Pettengill, who was our guest, so...
Ted, you did some Halloween activities. Did you see some nice costumes? Did you eat some candy in the days afterwards?
No.
Okay, back
to you,
Nick.
All right, back to you, Matt.
We went to that haunted house, though.
Oh, we did. In the South Shore, we went to a haunted house. Abington, Massachusetts.
Huh?
And it was in... There was an outdoor and an indoor component to it.
Yes.
It was a really long line. Most of the night was spent in line, but it was worth it.
I would say it would not have been worth it if it hadn't been with like 30 comedians.
Yeah. Although I was in like the back. I went to, like, we all gathered before the show and I went to use the porta potty before the show, and then all my friends were up in line. I knew a couple people in front of me, but they had all brought their friends, so I just felt like
seventh wheel.
Yeah, yeah, seventh wheel. Not great. But you go in. We did go in with two random girls that were in our group, so it was kind of fun to see strangers reacting and being scared by things. Because, I don't know, as a comedian, you kind of... analyze the response and how things are done more than the moment.
Right.
I can't enjoy anything. Yeah. I can't enjoy a movie. I'm waiting for the boom mic to come in. I can't enjoy someone's set. But it was nice to see people get scared by a creepy bellhop that sneaked up behind them.
The first house that I went through, because there was two things, and the first one, I was surprised at how many people that went had never been to like a haunted house type thing before.
Do they ask them? Is that like a?
No, we just got there and it was like
a host. Anyone celebrate your birthday?
It was
first time in the haunted house.
No, it was just
50 minutes of crowd work out front.
Because there were so many people that went. We are, you know, as like the group was waiting for everybody to show up, people were like, "Oh, I love haunted houses," and other people were like, "I've never been to a haunted house."
Oh, okay, okay.
So
just the people in your group that you knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the group I went through, one of the comedians, he had never been to a haunted house before, and he scared very easily. So he would get so frightened in each room that I would be laughing, just. Like doubled over laughing, having trouble walking through the house because he was so scared. And then I'd get to the next room and I would miss the scare because I was laughing. And then he would come in behind me and get scared again. And then I would start laughing again.
It sounds like it was good timing. It might not have passed out if you were like right on top of him the
yeah,
whole time.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
You could say his name, Austin McLeod, friend of the show.
Oh, he's been on the show.
Yeah, he's been on the backstage.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, before.
Okay. Yep. It was Austin.
And he was also getting scared in line. One of the things, I mean, the line is long, but it's kind of cool. They had people dressed as characters come through and just act creepy or scare people that are not paying attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And get intimidated. Like there was a deranged clown that, insisted on Eskimo kissing me, which was nice.
Eskimo!
Well, he did it with tongue, which was a little uncomfortable.
The best was, after we'd already gone through the house, we'd gone through the whole thing, and we were just like kind of standing in a circle trying to figure out like what we were going to do for the rest of the night. And one of the performers just slowly infiltrated the circle and got up like right next to Austin and just was like standing right on top of him for like at least 30 seconds. And we all, he was literally the only person who did not see this guy, and then like finally he just like moved his head enough to see this like fucking guy in a mask just right up in his face, and he freaked out so hard that the actor like broke character and started laughing at
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I was there to enjoy that. It was,
it was
pretty classic.
I love that shit. Like, did you ever see what was that show that was on for a little while where they scared the shit out of people?
Scare Tactics.
That's probably my favorite show I've ever watched on television. I've never laughed harder than watching that. Watching people freak the fuck out about shit.
Yeah.
Cause when people think they're dying, they lose their fucking mind.
Yeah.
People lose their mind if they think they're gonna die. And
pussies.
People just go crazy. Oh my god. I've never laughed so hard. Whoa.
Oh, there's a ladybug in here.
Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I was talking about scaring. I was startled
at
by the ladybug.
Yeah, at least Austin was a guy with blood dripping off of his face.
Right,
and
me,
an
it was just a ladybug, and I made a puddle over here.
Yeah, it was a sexy ladybug, though.
Do we know, like, when we're going on?
Supposedly the list there.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well...
And how are we going to get...
Well,
and we need to get some more folks back here, too.
Yeah, but the thing is that... I would be surprised that the first comic is on now. Andy does a lot of time up front. It's currently 10. Why don't we take a little bit of a break and I will go check and, you can get things going from there.
Groovy.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan. We are back, backstage of the Naked Comedy Showcase. Nick David here with Sam Monk and Devin Gwynn.
Howdy.
The amazing beatboxing comedian Devin Gwynn.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I would like to think so, but I know better.
Well, I was saying to Dan Martin that I was just mentioning, I was like, oh God, he's beatboxing and getting laughs. I fucking hate him so much right now.
Well, the thing is,
because I could hear you, but I couldn't see what you were doing.
Yeah.
I assumed it was funny.
My jokes are pretty average, but I've dedicated a lot more time to beatboxing than to comedy stuff. But
so
I
what would
both.
You give yourself as a grade on both?
As a grade? I would say, all right, is it a grade in like a normal school or in a beatboxing school?
Wait, do they have different grades in beatboxing school?
What's your grade for your skill as a beatboxer and your grade for your skill as a comic?
As a comic. Comic, I would say average C, just a very solid average C.
All right.
There's some good stuff in there, but it could use a lot of work. As a beatboxer, compared to most people who say that they beatbox, I am excellent. But when I go to competitions and stuff, I like generally make between lower than top 10 or like barely squeak into top 10. So it's
and
not.
And that's out of how many people though?
It'll be like out of like 50 or 60 or something like that of the people who show up. But so like I've never qualified for like the American Championships, which happen every year in New York. I've never qualified for like the top 16 in the US of solo beatboxers. But for things like the Midwest Beatbox Championships, the East Coast, I usually qualify like top 16, which is kind of nice. Yeah.
Well,
and then I get crushed in my first battle. I've never won a single battle in one of those.
I mean, the fact that you qualify, that seems like a pretty, I mean, I don't mean to get all philosophical.
Oh, no.
That seems like a pretty rough battle itself.
Oh, it's pretty fucking awesome. No,
tell us about your journey. We're here talking with Evan Quinn.
Yeah. Everything about my name
was
wrong.
Evan Quinn.
That's me.
You said Evan.
I think I said that. Let's roll the tape.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, we can roll it back and listen to it.
Let's talk to
Evan
Quinn.
Fuck, oh Jesus, now you got me saying it.
No, seriously. Like,
other than that, it was very NPR though.
Thank you very much, yeah. Thank you.
No,
Fresh air.
The thing is, like, I love beatboxing. Okay, I have this complex about it, because everyone who comes up to me and asks me about beatboxing, I'm usually like, oh yeah, I beatbox, like, check this out, and then I beatbox for them, and they're like, oh my god. But compared to people who are actually pursuing it as a career, I suck. I'm just not close to on the same
you
level.
You can say that about any kind of performance art. I mean, to be fair. I mean, you're not a professional. Like, it seems shitty to say, but you're not a professional at something until you're a professional
at
it.
That's true.
Oh, that's
true.
Cool. Like, yeah. What does that mean? Help me. I'm drowning in a sea of my own mediocrity.
That's true.
Yeah, but you're still probably way better. Like, if you think of, like, the originator beatboxers, like the dude with the Fat Boys. What was
his name? Yeah. Well, there were Fat Boys, then there was Rozelle, who was,
I mean,
like,
he's probably one of the most famous beatboxers ever, and the level of people that do it now are, like, way better than
him. He will send his people to track me down for saying this, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for sure. Like, I mean, he's a fucking innovator, and God love him, and great, and I was a big Fat Boys fan when I was a kid, so I had all their records when I was a kid, but... listen to people that do it now, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
People are making sounds they're making 60 different instruments with their voice in a span of, 3 minutes that he was just going,
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah.
He was doing boots. He was doing boots and cats.
Yeah.
There you go. He's miming either stretching. Oh,
that's the
good.
One. That's the one.
Is that the German version?
That's the German version.
Right. Why is he hiling while he's beatboxing?
The TV 14 version is butts and skirts. Butts, skirts, butts, skirts, butts, skirts, butts, skirts. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
But
so we got it all from three different directions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is that what you teach it? Because I know you teach beatboxing.
I do. Yeah, so I do.
Is that how you teach it?
I lead with other stuff, and then at the last second, I'm like, so you guys all know, like, Boots and Cats, right? And they're like, oh my god, yeah, because it's like middle schoolers, and they've watched all the viral videos and all that stuff. So.
Oh,
all
right. So that's a thing.
Yeah. Boots and Cats.
I took a musical improv workshop one time because I saw this hilarious improv group that did basically like beatboxing, like improv, and they just did
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Was it North Coast?
Yes, North Coast.
All right.
North Coast.
Yeah, my buddy's the beatboxer for North Coast.
Alfie?
Well, I guess different buddies.
Okay, cool. All right. No, I know this guy, Alfie, who taught this workshop, but, what the fuck were we talking about?
Oh, like the beatboxing, like Boots, Cats, Butt Skirts, Alfie, and my friend Ethan.
I missed it. Oh,
it's
all
right.
Well, I'm glad you know we both know North Coast.
Check out North Coast.
New York.
Check them out. You can find them at
they have their own
North
website.
Coast. You can find them at Facebook.com.
Yeah. Google search North Coast Musical Improv.
There you go.
You'll find them.
Yep.
How awkward it'd be to find out that there's so many North Coast Musical Improv groups.
Yeah, what if there's more than one?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many Northern Coasts.
Well,
something to think about here. We're here with Devin Quinn.
With Evan Quinn.
Yeah, with Evan Quinn.
EQ in the house.
The pharmacy
EQ
man.
EQ in the mother flipping hizzy EQ.
Yo, all right. That would be such a good beatbox name too. If I were Evan Quinn and I went by EQ, I would be EQ.
Holy
million
shit.
Times cooler.
Absolutely. Dude, EQ,
gonna,
Evan Quinn in
dude,
the mother flipping house.
Dude, I'm gonna give some straight up Justin Timberlake in the Social Network.
I'm
advice
ready.
Right here. Drop the D, it's cleaner. There you go. That's what I'm saying. You get that. Yeah, I mean, you know how you talked about like, oh man, I'm like nowhere close to even like winning my first battle.
It's true.
You drop that D.
Drop the D.
Drop the D.
Yeah.
Here at the Naked Comedy Show, we drop the D.
Drop the D, then
all
drop the B.
We would drop the D all night long. At the Naked Comedy Show, everybody here is dropping a D. Holy snaps. Holy snapping asshole. Dropping a D.
My favorite thing that I used to watch of like, when I would see like clips or like videos of old SNL, shows was, oh, what's his name? Tim Meadows' character. Ladies man. Hey.
Oh. As you could tell by the empty bottle of Cavassier, the show would come to an end.
I love it. my favorite thing, cause I remember a skit that I saw of the ladies man.
You say the words and then I'll do them over here. Tell me the words.
No, I can. What am I going to do? Whisper them?
Yeah, no. Just say them out. Just say them into the microphone in your normal speaking voice, and then I'll do them.
Hold on. I'm going to do you this because we're going to do something.
Hey, everyone. My name's Evan Quinn. I'm just,
that's right.
Taking some time here.
Oh, yeah.
When I give you the cue.
Okay.
Give you the cue. All right. So there's this old SNL sketch of the ladies man. And I think it's like this, like the last call. And he goes like, well, what's his name again?
I forget. Oh my God.
Let's call him Tim. So the old guy calls him like, well, Tim, I just want to say, you know, thanks to your advice, me and my wife have, a great love life, like renewed our love life. It's like, yeah, well, and like he says like, oh, how old are you guys? And he's like, Well, I'm 79 and the little lady's 80 and, he goes.
All right. Now that's disgusting.
just the pause. All right.
Sounds like a great SNL episode.
Yeah, it was great.
All right.
I mean.
Well, that's disgusting.
I mean, it's like, I mean, if you guys listening to this audio file are not understanding the hilarity of this television sketch, I mean, you just don't get humor.
Let's I wasn't a big fan of Tim Meadows, but I did like that character.
I like Tim Meadows in, the family, what's the movie, what's the Shia LaBeouf show,
Like
Disney Channel Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, even Stevens.
Even Stevens. Even Stevens.
Tim Stevens was.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's
yeah,
like the
Tim
movie
Meadows.
Producer.
Did you ever watch Project Greenlight?
Nope.
No. I've heard of it though. What is that?
When they discovered Shia LaBeouf. Project Greenlight was like it was like a thing that like Matt Damon and
That thing, yeah, like the like basically what like Disney, like the Disney kids club, the with that like
that
there.
Thing.
Like,
is that
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, like, Sam Mugg. You just
Disney
sputtered about nine different fucking adjectives, and I was like, I don't know
no,
what
like
the fuck you're talking
like the thing that like cast for stuff, like it used to cast for stuff for like Mickey Mouse Club.
No,
but then
so Project Greenlight was a thing.
For,
it was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, and they granted they gave a green light to a movie. They held auditions for a director, B a script writer, C a producer. I don't remember exactly. I don't remember. That's a little hazy, but they definitely a writer, a head writer.
Yeah.
They picked a script and B a director.
Yeah.
So they audition all these people, and then when they go to make the movie, then they start casting the movie. And the very first season of it, they discover Shia LaBeouf.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, to be fair, like,
he's unbelievably, he's engaging, and I hated it. I hated that I was on his side.
Dude, here's
I
the
was
thing.
Like,
Shia
I was like, oh, I want to see this kid do well. And then I see fucking Transformers, and I'm like, I want this guy to die in a fucking fiery crash.
Dude, that's Transformers.
I think him and Michael Bay
Here's the thing. Shia LaBeouf, in that relationship, Shia LaBeouf is, Michael Bay is the gun. Shia LaBeouf is just the bullet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But also, here's the thing. Right. I'm gonna stand up. I think Shia LaBeouf, he's actually, like, a good actor. He's a little crazy, but he's a good actor. He works like I literally have a joke that I do. I tell a story. I told it tonight when I was on stage is because I'm on the autism spectrum, and some people that like don't, when I tell people that sometimes they don't necessarily believe me, and it's because I'm not Hollywood autistic. You know, okay. Like I'm not Rain Man.
Eccentric.
I'm not right. Rain Man or The Accountant or Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
I'm not
comes
saying.
Comes in threes.
Yeah,
perfect.
But I'm not saying, no, but here's the thing. Like, he's not, I don't think, like, I don't actually think Shia LaBeouf's autistic. He's like, he's an amazing actor, and he like gets weirdly into stuff. Like that, like, yeah, he definitely does like weird shit. But I'm with you on that. I just don't think
he's a bad actor. I think he's gone a little crazy.
Yeah.
I think he got into acting young, and like everyone that gets successful when they're really young in Hollywood, he fucking went bananas.
He could, no, I mean, if we're talking about like child stars who went bananas, Shia LaBeouf is very low on that list of like the range.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird shit. He did a lot of weird shit.
Yeah, but he's not.
Did you see, listen,
not,
did you see like
Justin,
there was,
he's not
did you
Justin
see like
Diamond.
There was a,
he's not,
did you
he's
see
not
like,
the,
Do you see like there was a
he's
he,
not
had, a, he, had, a, he had a he had a there was a what the fuck was it?
The thing I know about
what was
is
the thing what was the thing where he had
camera?
A 24-hour camera,
yep. So,
and it was what was the, what were they shouting?
I forget what it said, but it was like we will not like it wasn't we will not be silenced, but it was like love will prevail. Or something.
Yeah,
you know
it was
about?
Something that was, and then, it was something that was a great message, yeah. But he's so fucking just
crazy.
Cuckoo bananas. It turned into a cuckoo bananas thing.
But I think that's, I don't think that's like a child, like that's like weird like performance art stuff. That's not child star crazy. You want child star crazy, you get Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
That's true.
You get Lindsay Lohan.
But I'm pretty sure there's some cuckoo shit that he's done since then. I think he felt like he punched someone out and then he quit. Didn't he quit acting? Yeah, he retired.
Was he going to be a rapper? No, he wore
No,
you're thinking of Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I am thinking of Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. No, but I think, but Shia LaBeouf does like weird, he definitely does like weird stuff, but it's like, I don't think it's like, I think it's more easily explained by like, he got in with a weird like art crowd. Like art cinematique type of thing. I think that's
could
less.
Be.
Which is weird because the effects of both seem like an issues with childhood acting. Like you need to go crazy weird at art or like crazy just off the rails drugs and insanity. Mm. But I do really think he did do that one thing where he had himself filmed. Watching all of his movies.
Yeah.
Which was super weird. No, it was weird.
It's cool, but
it was weird, but you could also technically tell his personality, cause when he was watching like Holes, did you guys ever see Holes?
Yeah, oh I love
Holes. Holes is a great movie. When he's watching Holes, he's like super smiling, like laughing and stuff like that. And when he's watching Transformers, like Transformers 2, he's literally in like his seat going, like, I think he like all actors like does like some like, it's like the same reason why Tom Hanks plays a captain every 7 years. You gotta get.
Wait, are you running material on us now?
You gotta get that paycheck. You gotta get that paycheck.
So with Shia LaBeouf, I don't even know. It was like 2016 or whatever. He made a thing at the museum, and it was a live stream, and it showed the word "He will not divide us," and it was like in reference to Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
He will not divide us. Live stream. And within like a day, 4chan had sent their minion, like their people, to go there and
swatted.
And they didn't swat him, but they would send people there to like hold up like swastikas or like do whatever. And so then he like got really upset with it. And he had a group of people who were chanting, "He will not divide us. He will not divide us." Then he put the flag, like he just like, he took
oh, that's
everything
right.
Back.
That's
he put
right.
It
now
up
I
on
remember.
A flag
it. Right.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they still found it
they
again.
There was the fucking, that's what it was.
Yeah.
They triangulated. They used like the sounds.
Yeah.
Like I watched the whole
they
show
heard a
about
truck
this.
Go by.
About how
yeah.
they figured out how, where the fuck he was. And they, the people, these crazy programmers from all over the world were.
Right.
Doing fucking math problems and somehow figured out where the flag was. They saw a plane go overhead. That's what it was. They saw a plane go overhead.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was.
They figured out what type of airplane it was. They looked at the times at what air.
Yeah, yeah,
where,
yeah, exactly.
Where planes were flying out of. Yeah. And they used that. That was part of it. Yeah. But like, yeah, I watched the whole show about that. I was nuts.
That seems like it'd be easier just to have someone go outside every major city and go, Shia!
That's true. Well, they had people, no, that's what they did. They sent,
yeah, they sent
like,
people honking.
Place, so they,
yeah,
sent
they sent people honking,
honking.
And then they kept making them get closer, closer until they triangulated in on him through the honking.
And then they put up a thing of Pepe. Like that's literally what they did was they put like a Pepe flag up.
Man, internet people are the fucking worst.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? We're joined by the one and only.
Hi, Zandy O'Fish here. Everyone's looking at me awkwardly
because
I just slipped in without an intro. But,
you're telling about
well, here we are with Andy O'Fish, the show's originator. Woo. How are you?
Now that's a proper amount of respect. All right. No, not that I care. but yeah, this is awesome. We've had a great show. Dan's popping in here. Hey, Dan.
Hey.
You gotta close the show. You don't have much time.
Devin, Gwen's gonna get it for a minute.
7 minutes.
What? Oh,
I just said that you got up for a second. You're going to give Dan Martin a chance to come say hi.
Have you even said hi yet?
Not yet.
How you doing, Dan?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome, man. You're going to do the Dan's going to close out the show. We're on Matt Kona, right? He's number, well, it's number 7. Then we're going to do number 8. But we had a number 1. We had a number 1 and a 1A.
I liked 1A. I didn't hear, I heard it was.
Ethan, he was on the show last month.
Yeah.
He was on the podcast when I hosted.
Yeah, so I threw him out there again. Audience loved him.
Yeah, he's been on the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I think the first month he just got up and did one joke. Yeah.
It's going to be a good night. It wasn't a long show tonight.
No, I think, but you should take us to 11:15.
I will.
Get us out on time.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure Matt's probably brought up Will Martin at some point. What time we got?
10:51.
We got the call. Timeout call. So you might be doing 10 to 15 depending on.
Anything that the listening audience needs to hear from me before I go, any questions?
Yeah. So Dan, why don't you tell us what is new and great that you're going to do tonight? Are you doing anything new that you're excited about?
I might talk about my 10-year-old daughter's breast buds.
I heard you talking about that at lunch. It sounds like a bit of an obsession.
Yeah.
And I know that your premise is that it's kind of sick and disgusting, but it does remind me of the whole Pete Townsend excuse where he said he was doing research.
Yeah.
So I'm actually thinking that maybe your obsession with the awkwardness of your daughter's breast buds and people calling it that, I think that maybe part of that is that your own awkwardness with your your own kind of.
Do I water them? Like I don't understand.
Reaction.
I think it's important to recognize that you're uncomfortable with the breast buds purely as a series of words itself.
It's an uncomfortable phrase.
Yes, exactly.
It's just the phrase.
Yeah.
It's not your daughter and her breast buds.
No, she's fine.
She's fine.
And I love her.
You're fine.
Yeah, and I'm good.
And you're fine. It's the terminology.
Do I plant her in the garden? Like what?
Why would you even consider that?
Because I like burying children.
No, it's like you're taking a metaphor literally.
Well, the other thing that you were saying at dinner was that you take offense to the word budding.
Yes.
And use it in a sentence. Use it in a sentence that you read on Facebook today.
Oh, for my wife to beware of her budding hormones. My daughter's budding hormones. It's just, it's uncomfortable. Like, as an ally, you know, I just feel like, why do we always gotta compare women to food and plants and make them delicious and desire? They're already like
Dan.
They already make less money than us.
I don't know if you have to be an ally, but you could just be a fellow human.
Yeah,
I hope we could all just be fellow humans for each other. The whole ally thing definitely implies a separateness that I don't buy into.
Whatever. I believe in genders.
I've seen them.
You know, there's at least 7.
Yeah, like here's the thing. If you
doesn't mean I believe in two.
If you consider that we don't live in a world with strictly binary gender, we actually live in a world with all genders.
Yeah.
Then we're all genders.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're one of them, but together we're all
of chromosomes.
All of us together are all the genders.
Yeah.
So we're all weird, because that's pretty weird and fucked up.
Well, that's just, that's
well,
just,
I have full grown breasts.
I don't know if that's as nearly as deep as you want it to seem like it is. We're all people.
Yeah.
That means we're all the people. All the people are us. Yeah. We have all the fingers.
And actually,
wait. That makes sense mathematically, but
is that like in that one Nightmare on Elm Street where like the meatballs?
Wait, you're not one of these
people
that dogs are people.
By the way, everyone, please welcome.
Dogs. Dogs are people.
Dogs are people. Dogs are definitely people.
See,
there we
go.
Hold on, we have a new voice. We have to welcome to the.
I'm gonna welcome
her,
and then I'm also gonna say bye just in case Will's on and I gotta get naked.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Bye, everyone. I'm gonna talk about little breasts.
Okay, that was Dan Martin, everybody, and he's departing. But now we have a new person on the mic. This is Solange Azor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Hello.
Sometimes we welcome people in the middle. Yeah, get right up on it. I feel like this isn't like a stage mic. We can get kind of loosey goosey with it. This is like a for real mic, and you just stare ahead. And you stick your mouth in one spot and you talk like you're never going to move a muscle again.
Mm. Well, here, it just makes less work for me afterwards if I can get people to get right on the mic in the beginning.
Oh, because you probably.
Because I have to mix it all afterwards. I have to, if you're talking too quietly, I have to bring your voice up to where everyone else is so it doesn't sound like, not you particularly, I'm just saying anyone.
I've never had a problem with being too quiet, but I do have a problem with aim, so. Just
perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, you can tilt that mic any way you need it.
Oh, beautiful.
So Lange Azor, you've been on the show two or three times. How many?
I think this is my third time.
Third time. So it's the early single digits. What is your...
But your first time on the podcast, yes?
Second time on the podcast.
Second time. Okay. I wasn't here the last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah. That was last February, I think.
Wow, have we been doing it that long?
Yeah. Yes.
Since February? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, this is our seventh show, and we've missed, there's been 2 months we missed, right? Yeah. So that's 9 months. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
And we're, we're back on a regular schedule, right?
That's it.
I'm excited. So, what drew you to doing the Naked Comedy Show, Solange?
I did it to fill in for a friend, Devin Gwynn. And
let's get Devin back
here. Let's get
Devin
on here.
Devin, come back. We lost Devin for a little bit.
Here I am.
Hello, Devin.
Thank you for filling in for me that one time.
Yeah, how did that go? How did you decide to approach Solange for filling in for you on the Naked Comedy Show?
I do not recall. Do you remember?
It was a group text.
Okay.
And I was the only one available.
that was like the first show that we did, so I must have been here. Weird.
Yeah, I
don't
think
remember.
You were.
I had to have been, because that was, I only missed one where they just had somebody come in and record it while I wasn't here.
You're saying Solange is forgettable.
I'm saying neither of us remember each other.
I have gray hair now. That's a big difference. Imagine me now with black hair.
That's right. Now, how do you get your hair gray? Why is that? Is that like an artificial thing, or are you actually like prematurely gray? Because you're not that old.
No, I'm not that old. It is artificial, but what I've noticed is that people treat me so much better. I have this theory that like there's this trope of the old wise black woman, like Whoopi Goldberg and like Grandmother Willow, and now me. And so everyone treats me with so much respect and kindness that I never ever want to not have gray hair.
You know what it is? I think from
distance,
distance, when somebody can't see your youthful appearance up close, that you look like you could be old.
Exactly.
And then they hang on to that. They hang on to that initial theory because people have confirmation bias.
Mm-hmm.
They're likely to believe their first story rather than their second story. So they probably continue treating you like a wizened old person.
Yeah. It's been really working out in my favor so far.
That's awesome. What have you gotten as a result of that?
Do they give wise people free things?
This is great. It's an entirely different world. I was at a Starbucks, which I don't really go to because I'm not a big coffee drinker and I don't like the smell of coffee. But I ordered tea and then they were like, you go sit down. I sat down. They brought me the tea. It gets better.
No, that's funny because you're ordering what an older person would order. I think. Solange, I think you're doing it on purpose.
I'm conning.
You're perpetuating it. She puts on little crow's feet before she goes out, she gives a little makeup, makes bags under her eyes.
No, I'm 49. And I'm also looking for strategies to jump the gun on the ARP rate at any business I walk into. So, that's awesome.
Have you gotten the ARP discount yet? That's the question.
That's step three. That's like phase three of this plan. Right. Yeah, it's Starbucks ARP.
But, you know, we've gotten off the original topic. So so you just put a thing out on your Harvard comedy society that you're both this group.
I think I selected a few people to create a group message who I knew would do probably a better job than I would have done originally. And so then I just reached out and shockingly none of them said yes other than Solange. Weirdly, I have this one friend who loves walking around naked when not invited to be naked, but refuses to do the show even though he's a very good stand-up comedian. So,
Solid comedian, mm-hmm. enjoys nude time.
And doesn't like them together.
But will not do that on stage.
It's like ketchup and ice cream.
Is it like a privacy thing?
I don't know really what if I had to guess.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's a privacy thing if he doesn't mind being naked around people who don't ask him to be naked.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, it's that being like overtly naked, like the naked guy a lot, and then also being like doing stand up are both ways of maybe like dealing with self-confidence issues. Not like literally just like, look, I'm super confident, I'm naked all the time, and like, look, I do comedy. But then putting them together, it's just too much in one place to be
it's
able
like
to
getting,
do, like
getting Clark Kent and Superman in the same room. You just can't do it.
Or maybe it's the element of surprise, you know, like surprise, I'm naked, but on stage and people know it's gone.
Right.
Maybe.
It takes away the whole angle for his, the whole reason he wants to do it is to shock people.
Exactly.
And they've already seen eight dicks by the time he gets up there, so nobody cares.
Yeah. That was the thing. My first time I really wanted to do dick jokes. And I was like, I'm not a funny enough comedian to write a new dick joke after eight dick jokes in a row.
Yeah. So everyone's probably heard a bunch of them by that point. But let's get back to Solange. So you saw the group text.
Yes.
And did you immediately understand that this involved being naked? Was that made clear?
I want to say yes. I think I assumed that audience and performers were naked. And I was okay with that.
You thought it was like at a nudist beach or something?
Yeah, kind of. I was like, naked comedy. So, well, it's not like naked comedy show unless you're the audience. There's just like naked comedy show.
Interesting.
Imagine the cleaning that would have to be involved in scrubbing all the seats as everyone's bare ass on them.
I did not think about that.
Plus, for our hazing, we make everybody do naked stand-up anyway. So.
Really? No.
We do not haze.
We do not haze.
We absolutely do not haze.
We do not haze.
Is that like a mantra at Harvard? We do not age.
Yeah, literally.
So Solange, before you had done this show, had you done stand up before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I know Devin.
How long have you been doing stand up?
I would say seriously for like 2 years, and I've been like dabbling in stand up and storytelling for like 4 years.
Okay. Yeah. Do you do a lot of mics?
Not enough mics. Definitely not enough mics.
I could tell you haven't done open mics because the first time you went on, I think Kylie Alexander.
Kylie's great.
A small comedian.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She was on that show. And then somebody else, and they both said the same thing to me. It's like, why haven't I seen her? She's too good to not do open mics and like be grinding. She must be grinding this out. And then, no, you're just talented. I think that's how it's going.
The other thing,
a little bit lazy
and a little talented and a little late. Yeah. I got it.
I'm ready to grind.
So where do you work a material out at?
Where?
Yeah.
My head, my friends on campus. Like, we have a lot of great on campus shows.
Solange is being humble. Solange is the president of the Harvard Stand Up Comic Society.
Oh, because you were president before, right?
Yeah, before Solange, and it's actually a co-presidency.
Oh, really? So you're still involved?
No. I was present with an amazing comic named Nina Sapers.
Oh, okay.
And then the next year, it's Solange and a guy named Joel. Mm-hmm. And so, and also it's funny because Solange would come like workshop her stuff with us, and she would just be like, oh yeah, like I kind of want to tell a story about how, like, I don't know, I bite eyeballs when I was growing up. I like bite people's eyeballs. And we're like, yeah, that's funny. Like, you know, you need to write him into jokes. And she's like, yeah, well, like, you know, I'd bite like this guy's eyeballs. We're like, yeah, that's really funny. Like, you need to turn it into a joke. And then little did we know she had like fleshed out amazing material and would just like kill on stage at the shows and go on and then have like, you know, perfectly crafted material.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
perks
like one of those
having
crazy,
a traumatic childhood, I would say.
For other people, by biting your eyeballs.
I'd have to say you're the first eyeball biter I've ever met.
Yeah, I know. I also haven't met another eyeball biter. And it's like
is
one of those
true
things.
Thing? Do you bite? You bite? You bite now?
No, currently. I did bit.
Okay.
And I don't know, like,
on the regular?
I don't know how regular, but I sent my neighbor to the hospital. When I was like 2 years old, cause I think I just like, I think I had like one, you know, the situation where you have two front teeth and nothing else and you're just like, that was me.
And you were just gnawing on some eye sockets.
Yeah, and I was just gnawing on eye sockets.
What's in here? Let's find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you do that stuff tonight?
Did
you do that material tonight?
I didn't. I reserved the eye biting material for, you know, special audiences. Oh,
right. Is it a situation where-
Cause
like,
I would like to hear it, that's why.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to hear this now.
Do you like still want to bite eyeballs and it's just a part of yourself you fight? Or is it a thing where like you just- You're like, I don't know why I wanted to do it, but, you know,
are
it's,
we
I'm
safe
over it.
Wait
right
a second.
Yeah.
I think how many
eyeballs have you bitten? That's the real question.
I don't feel comfortable having that number on record.
Is that true? Oh my God.
I feel like it's one of those situations, you know, when people are like, how many animals did they skin? You know, I don't want this to be used against me in a few years, so I'm not going to say. I don't bite anymore though. I'm very good with my teeth.
Okay.
And my less so with my impulses, but I know how not to hurt people with my mouth.
That's good.
That is very good.
Use your mouth for other things. Awesome. I'm going to leave the podcast for now. You guys carry on. And Nick, do you think you have time? We might bring some people back for who did the naked joke.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll mention that at the end, and we'll try to get somebody back here before we close it up, okay?
Okay. Yeah,
so
I'm always here until...
I think I also need to head out, so I'm going to sign off, but...
All right. Solange, thank you for
yes.
hanging out.
I'll see
nice
you
to meet
December.
You again.
It's good to meet you again.
Nice to meet you again for the first time.
I'll have gray hair next time also, so, you know, consistency.
I'll see
Happy
you.
Birthday,
I hope,
Devin.
I hope you have more stories about being a wise old black woman.
I probably will. You know, I have a month to collect them, so.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Stay tuned, folks.
That should be a bit. I don't know if you thought about turning that into a bit.
It definitely is growing into a bit.
Yeah, I think that definitely should be a bit. Yeah. That's some pretty funny stuff.
Thank you.
For every wise old black woman, there are two white men waiting to take her place.
That's what they taught me. That's
holy
what we're
shit.
Taught.
Welcoming back Matt Kona.
Good night.
Finally, the white man has this. All right.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Solange, yours, everybody. Thank you.
I just know how to walk a room. If it's something I can do, it's make a woman walk away.
Welcome back.
Will Martin is here. Just ripped him from the stage directly to the podcast, as is the, you know, the style of the show. Hi, Will.
Good to be here.
Any relation to Dan Martin?
I'm afraid not. Mm. I'm Martin of the Virginia Martins, and he's of the Rhode Island.
Yeah. Well, he is a Rhode Island native. I've never Dan has been on the podcast many times. We've never really delved too deep into the backstory,
the
origin.
Let's go with the Winnesquamet Beach Martins.
Mm.
Ooh, I like that. It sounds very Rhode Islandy. Is that a place?
No, it's right
Winnesquamet.
Winnesquamet Beach. Oh. It's right in Westerly.
And you're from Virginia. We've never delved into...
Oh, well, my dad is. So that's why people ask me if I have an accent, and I think it's just from my dad talking. Mm. I don't know. It's a little drawl. That's all. Wow.
I think that I got an accent from my dad, too, but it's just that whenever whoever I talk to, they think I sound disappointed in them. So Will is here. Yeah, great. How old are you?
I'm sorry, you sound very distant. Is that an accent?
You know how hard I worked today, Will? How old are you? When are you going to get your shit together?
It's my 14th birthday, Matt.
Will, do you know how many weeks that we had to work in order to get you this Christmas present?
Oh, listen, I didn't mean to be a burden.
Santa, your mom and I. But my handwriting.
Yeah. All three of you bought me a gift.
So we're kind of freewheeling. The show is going to be wrapping up in a little bit. Will was asking if I did some new stuff. I did mostly new stuff today.
Okay.
I kind of freewheeled. In fact, I even tried to close with the Halloween answering the door with no candy thing that we were talking about earlier on the podcast. So,
yes.
So Nick, you're my muse for that.
Lovely. I wish I could have heard it.
But I haven't been as out and active, so it's good to hear some new stuff from Will. Very funny stuff.
Hey, thanks.
Now, is that stuff that you've been working on, or did you debut anything at the Naked Show? Because sometimes people like to try new stuff out because it's a great crowd.
Yeah, it's a really good crowd. I was at Thunder Bar earlier tonight, and I prefer – that's like the good crowd that I go to with new stuff. Of course, that's like the mic is all new stuff, but it's also like a very – welcoming place to debut, like you said. Like, if I really like something, I'm like, I'll do it at Thunder Bar first, and maybe that'll be the only time it ever gets a laugh.
Yeah.
But it'll get it once. Mm. Tonight was just like, it's usually 5, and then right before he was like 7. So I was like, okay, cool. Mm. I get to just expand. There was stuff that I had
rush it.
Yeah, you're talking about tonight or at
tonight.
Thunder Bar.
Yeah. Okay. At Naked Comedy.
Okay.
So I had a blast, man. It's always nice to get that extra 2 minutes just to feel like, oh, I don't have to get done right at 5. Just like you can riff a little bit more, I feel like. I don't know. Not that it's a huge difference.
Let the jokes breathe like your genitals are breathing on stage. Without the constrictions of 5 minutes or boxer shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good. What new stuff or what was your middle that was newish, you said?
Oh, I remember. Talked about people doing the popcorn trick or something that I've heard about people that cut a hole in
that
the bottom of a popcorn to put their dick through. So if they're on a date, the girl reaches over to get popcorn.
Yeah.
Like I've never met someone that's
meatballs.
Done that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Meatballs. Yeah.
Oh, that's what in Meatballs. Okay, I got
it. Yeah, it was in the movie Meatballs. Mm. The dude goes to he brings his girlfriend to the movie theater and he cuts the hole. It's from the movie. It's Meatballs.
Yeah.
It's
Meatballs.
Yeah. But that's okay.
I've never done that before.
No, I've never I've never done it either. And then I was trying to dissect the
you guys haven't?
I wonder if there
the
was
problem a, is that I don't
what kind
carry,
of pussies am I doing this I podcast with anyways?
I usually leave my pocket knife at home when I'm on dates.
Sure,
and so
sure.
I have nothing to cut a hole
you
in the
can,
bottom of the
it's paper. Come
well,
on.
No,
or
I'm
your dick's
gonna,
hard enough. Put a little butter on it.
Not during the Notebook.
I think it mostly happened probably in the 80s during people's second viewing of Meatballs then. I guess
probably.
I can go back to that.
I mean, you know, it's sexual assault, but if you did it on the second time of Meatballs.
If you did it in the 80s, it's not sexual assault.
Oh, no.
And it's not sexual assault because don't know they're assaulting you.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
All right,
I really wish I weren't on this podcast.
I'm so sorry. This is Ted Pettengill.
Evan Quinn, everyone.
Yeah,
Evan Quinn.
Gosh.
If they liked the bit in the first time, and if you're going out with them, and they were like, man, that was such a funny bit, and you were like, really? Was it really funny? And they were like,
And you're like, let's go see Meatballs again.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, should we watch it again? Double feature.
I think it's only okay if you go to the movies with your friend. And
then it's
a funny prank. Ah, you touched
my
dick.
Yeah.
So I'll send you the clip, Nick. Maybe we can put the audio in to absolve myself of anything.
But, it was a great bit.
Yeah,
it was a very funny.
Because I did record myself. I haven't done that in a while, so I'll put that on there.
Oh, send that to me. I'll splice it in.
Okay, yeah. We'll go. We haven't done that yet on a show.
The other one's the pizza, which
we have not.
Make as much
and
sense
that's
to me.
Listen.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
one thing. That's one
Big
thing that I was hoping
pizza.
That we would do more because I had an idea of doing a podcast for a while where we watch someone set and then we would pick a joke and dissect it. So I would be interested. We'd strip it down at the Naked Show. I'd like to do that more often, so we'll start with this joke.
Okay.
And then it's,
See if there's a way I can make it funnier and not just related to the movie Meatballs, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was just something that I heard, I don't know, cause I've seen Meatballs, but it was a long time ago, and I think I knew about the concept before I saw the movie, and I was like, people do that? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
In the '80s.
Yeah.
Back before it was sexual assault.
It was a different time. All right. Stop throwing the SA word around. All right.
Jesus.
Yeah. But, all right. So here's something that I was thinking about and I should have brought it up earlier when we were talking to Ted, but, for the people who have done the Naked Show, like we were talking, Devin at the patio at the bar, next door about how you kind of did the show just to see if you could do it.
Yeah.
And then you kept doing it, but would you, it's a completely different thing if you're going out into, say, would you ever spend an afternoon at a nudist retreat? The question goes out to all three of you anyway. Just because that is normalized nudity. Everyone is naked. You're just kind of doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any interest in that? Or
am I allowed to make jokes at the retreat?
Of course.
Or?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say yes. What are you going to do? Freedom of speech.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also funny.
Unless you're roasting
what I was saying
everyone's
before
junk.
Was that like, the first time I did, I was like, oh, well, you know, if I can do this, I can do anything. Like, woo, it's crazy. Oh my God. And then I keep coming back and I have to kind of justify it to myself and my peers and my friends and family of like, yeah, this is a thing I do.
Yeah.
I had one friend who tried to convince me that I wasn't doing naked. She was like, no, naked comedy. I know it's naked improv. It's like a style of improv. It's like, no, it's naked stand up. And she's like, no, I like, all right. Like, no, Devin,
oh my gosh.
It's the naked comedy show. It's like naked improv. It's a style of improv. It's like, I've done this show before. I don't know.
I love it when people try to tell you something that you know infinitely more than they do
yeah,
about it, and they try and change your mind as to what it actually is. That's great.
Yeah. But I think with the nudist colony thing, like, I mean, I've gone skinny dipping and stuff like that, and it's like a thing, but I think that there's like a group level where you're in those types of situations where at least on some level, you're like, it's all spontaneous in air quotes. Like, you know, even if you were like, let's all go skinny dipping like on Friday, then it's still like some sort of like weird spontaneous thing. Whereas when it's totally normalized, it's somehow weirder than when it's like taboo. So
let's sit around and read the newspaper and then maybe play some volleyball.
Yeah.
All day naked. You gotta worry about sunburn and stuff.
Sure.
Would you guys do it? The nudist colony visit?
I don't have any interest in it personally, but I wouldn't not do it. I mean, you have to figure out the situation. Like, all right, you're dating a girl and, or a guy or whoever you're dating. And that person says, hey, I'm actually a nudist and I go to this thing on weekends sometime. Would you like to come with me? Yeah. Okay. I'll go check it out, but it's not anything that I would be like, hey,
Googling.
Give me the yellow pages. Let's find the nearest fucking place that I can be naked around a bunch of 70-year-olds that are fatter than me.
Wow, that's
funny. Because I totally would do that. I would. My answer is yes. It's on
you
my bucket list.
It's on your bucket list. That's
honestly,
great.
Yeah. I had a couple of buddies go to one in like Toronto, and they were like, it was just so chill and good. Like, it was just a bunch of people naked, and being naked's pretty fun. So I'll do it, you know?
Okay, here's an easier one. Nude beach.
Yeah. Okay.
Nude beaches. I think that's an easier answer.
I've been to nude beaches. Been to one in Italy. I was not nude for it, but Well.
Wonder Woman.
hello.
So this the hello voice is Fallon O'Brien. First time audience member.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do a little. End of the show segment. We've done this before where we've gotten comics who have done the one joke thing. We've also got people who were just in the audience to respond to your first experience at the Naked Comedy Showcase. Also,
people
you do
know there, then know her, and
yeah, there you go.
Comedian.
Yeah, it was pretty special. Like I'm starting to adopt more of a let's just do it and be spontaneous and be wild, right? So, you know, and getting naked in front of a crowd of people too actually puts me on the spot because like I don't work out and I need to. And I've seen all these like beautiful tight bodies, these loose bodies. I love all the bodies, right? And so I felt so comfortable. Everyone was like so nice and sweet and it was very warm and welcoming. And also there were people that probably couldn't see me because that was the funniest part when people would walk out and like someone's head was just perfectly in the position of like where the penis was or where I was like, this is funny because I can't see anything. It's just, but it's,
Oh, people sitting in front of you.
Yeah, the people sitting in front of me. That was interesting. But no, that was cool. It was cool. I have a variety show called Fallon's Daily Toast, fallonsdailytoast.com. It's on Channel 3 in Somerville, and I thought it was a really great opportunity to drop it. So yeah. I did that for primarily just to do a little plug.
And you can, it may end up being a topic of the next segment.
I think so. Well, because, yeah, I would love to have all of you on to talk, it's like on the show to talk about this.
Fallon, have you done stand-up before?
No, I mean, not in front of a crowd like that. I do stand-up, like, on my television show. I'm the host of my show. I've been doing it now for 4 years. So, you know, there's, like, a certain level of stand-up that happens. But no, I haven't done it in front of a crowd. I just do it in front of, a blank crowd because I don't see the thousands of people that are tuning into my show.
Huh.
But
your show is really great.
Yeah, it's fun. Sometimes. It's like, I cover everything from genocide in Ethiopia to like
Wonder
development
Women
in Somerville. And yeah, it's wild. It's really big and wild and expansive kind of a show. But that was really fun. That was cool to get up and do that. I wish I had more time. I was going to ask, like, how much time do I have? And I should have taken the mic out of the host because I was kind of like bending down. Yeah. Next time, you know, I'm going to come again.
Oh, did you do the one joke?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you didn't know?
No, because we were back here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did. I got naked.
Oh, very exciting. Yeah, yeah.
And I got naked.
Yeah, it was exciting to see somebody that I know that wasn't expecting that. The whole show, like, going up like that.
Yeah, that was, I'm sure.
So this is the voice of Yael Gavish. She's a comic.
Yeah, I'm Yael Gavish. I'm a comedian. Never done the naked comedy show.
Don't
see myself doing that.
Why not?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I love watching that. I'm coming here like once in a while. I know people are doing that. I'm having fun watching that, but I don't see myself doing that. I don't know why.
I feel the same way.
Like,
I feel the same way because they ask me every time I come, you gonna do some time tonight? I'm like, nah. Like,
what is your name?
I'm Nick.
Hi, Fallon.
Fallon, nice to meet you.
Cool.
Also, I've never saw any naked comedy scene in any. I came from Israel. I've been spending a lot of time in Sweden and in Paris comedy scenes, but never had, like, to see any naked comedy show in my life, beside Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's still, like, also new. It's like, what? Why?
I love that I could go with my sneakers, hat, and scarf. That was really nice, actually.
I really liked your outfit.
You kept your sneakers, hat,
I kept
and scarf?
I kept my sneakers, hat, and scarf.
I thought
that's
it was
great.
A really cool outfit.
Yeah.
And what's your name, sir?
Oh, we got Dave. So did Dave also out? Did, he did yeah, the, yeah. The one, joke thing. So, grab the mic. Yael has been banished since she's never done the show. So.
What did you think? Was it your first time?
Well, I've been to the show once before.
Yeah.
And, I heard that they might invite people up. And so I thought I would go up. And then my wife said, you know, I don't worry. You'd rather not go up or whatever. But then she said, well, if you really want to.
Aww,
of course, she
kind
of made herself. So we came back so I could do it.
Good. How did you feel about it?
I felt good. I mean, you know, when I was up there, I wasn't really conscious of my being naked.
Yeah.
So I was more focused on trying to get what I wanted to say out.
So did you come with a joke prepared? Or
yes.
All right. So something that you wrote?
Yeah. I guess I didn't really write it, I'd say, but I did it in my head.
What
was
the joke? What was it?
Well, I started off with saying that I'd come here last month and I had wanted to come up, but my wife said not to. And so some of you out there are probably wishing you'd come last month.
Nice. All right.
That's good.
And then,
that's great.
And then
hey, God, there's like eight people in the room here, and everybody laughed at that joke. So
yeah.
That's good stuff. And it's all comedians, too. So.
And then... Then I talked about I'd lost 150 pounds recently, but you can never pick where you lose the weight from. So I said if I could lose just one more or maybe two more pounds, it'd be from right here, so I don't have to play peekaboo with my penis anymore. And then I told just a regular joke, which was why doesn't Smokey the Bear have any children? Every time his wife gets hot, he beats her with a shovel.
Jesus.
I didn't make that one up.
No, he does have a serious history of domestic violence. Smoke of the Bear, that is.
Yeah, I'll definitely come back.
Well, it's animal on animal violence.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Yeah, it's not domesticated animals. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I stand corrected.
Are you allowed to do jumping jacks naked? Is that part of the
push-ups have been done naked on stage?
Yeah. I just know like the whole like 90 or however degree, however, you know, the whole like opening, you know, your legs.
Yes.
You can
Andy's disclaimer. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Andy, jumping jacks, where do you stand? Yes, no. Can jumping jacks be done on stage?
I say they can be done, but if that's the point of your act, I probably won't book you on the show.
Good answer. Good answer.
Jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks exercise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can guess what it is. Yeah. So,
well. Thank you so much. This has been such a beautiful, beautiful experience. First time at the Naked Comedy Show. I met Andy a couple of years ago at Firefly Festival. He was naked. He was telling jokes. I said, oh, this guy should be on stage. And then I come to find out he has his own show.
Sorry, 8 years
deep. Yeah, 8 years deep and then still going
strong.
And I'd love to have you all on Fallon's Daily Toast to talk about it. We're going to be on Channel 3. We go live. But so the nudity, maybe if I can get some like, yeah, I could probably figure it out, you know.
Yeah, you got a lower third on the screen.
Lower third on the screen.
Make sure you
A ticker. Yeah, we'll do something.
Takes a lick and it keeps on ticking.
Ticking.
And Dave, you got anything you want to shout out to? Do you write? Is this something you want to keep doing, like writing jokes, going on stage, clothes or not?
Yeah, I've always liked to tell jokes, and but I never actually got onto doing anything on stage or anything like that. I've been thinking about doing the improv classes, maybe or something like that.
All right. So you have a Twitter or anything? Do you post anything there? All right. Well. Come on back next week. Maybe you'll see Dave. Maybe he'll be one of the people that started off doing the one joke thing, and then you do a little bit longer next time.
Month,
no pressure, Andy, but I know we're booked a little bit in advance. But hey, but we'll see. Send us a tape. Get out there and put your clothes on and do some comedy, and then keep working that muscle. So okay. I think we got to break down and wrap up. Thank you to everybody who was on the show. Any parting thoughts from anybody?
Anybody have anything that they want to plug or anything they want to say to anyone before we wrap it up?
If this gets put out before November 8th, Yale's doing a show at the Davis Square Theater.
I have an international show next week. It's probably going to be like after that. The Wonder Woman is here. The Israeli comedian of Boston is here. And there is an international comedy show next Thursday at the Rockwell in Somerville. It's like an Indian, a South Korean, an Australian, and an Israeli girl in one stage. So it sounds like a joke, anyway. But
they walk into a
bar. They walk into a comedy show.
Yeah, exactly. Not on a plane. It's not gonna end. Yeah, but it's gonna be funny. So
cool. And thanks for listening. Leave a review. Tell your friends. But come on back first Thursday of every month at Improv Boston. Tell your friends, but don't tell them what it is. All right. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Matt. Thank all your comics.
You're welcome.